Amen. Well, good morning. If you're a father, again, happy Father's Day. We have a little display case on the steps on your way out there, and we have a great little happy Father's Day present for you. Now, if you're here and you're going home and Dad didn't make it this morning, feel free to grab a soda or a piece of candy for Dad and take it home and just say, "Hey, Dad, your church loves you." Amen? Amen. So, last week, we did something a little bit, you know, I said we did something that I've never done before and I've always wanted to do, but the Lord just never released it until last week. And if you remember, we had a chest and we took up an offering and we said, hey, if you have some, this is not about financial tax receipts and this kind of stuff. If you have some cash and you want to give, give. And if you have a need and you want to take, take. And I said, it's always nerve-wracking when you do something like that, because I have no idea what's going to happen. And we had a little journal at the back and just kind of said, hey, listen, would you just take a moment and say what the Lord did for you in your life? And then if it's empty, the box is empty, then just write in there what you're believing the Lord for, and we can pray with you on this. And I just thought that I would just share with you what the Lord did last week. I'm not going to read names and stuff because it's personal, but I just want to show you what God did. I really needed help with a power bill, and the Lord provided for that need. Some people asking for prayer for jobs. Thank you so much. The Lord provided $475 in overdue rent. Thank you so much. God supplied $1,800 to replace the transmission in my vehicle. And after those were done, we had $800 left over that we were able to put into a benevolence account to be able to use to bless somebody else in the church. God is so faithful. Amen? Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. So this morning, this is our last week on I Love My Church. And we want to talk about the whole aspect of serving and, stepping out into that place of sharing the life of Jesus Christ. For myself, I don't know about you, but have you ever been to a place that people are talking about, like a restaurant, that maybe the atmosphere, something is really different about it? You know, I can remember a few of them in my life. I remember one time back in Toronto, they had a restaurant that came that was called Rainforest Cafe. And I know they have a few of those places around. And the Rainforest Cafe, you kind of go in and the whole atmosphere is jungle themed. There's vines and all kinds of things. And it depends on where you're sitting. But in one of the sections, there's movable elephants there. And they're just kind of doing the little robotic things with sounds. And then there's another section has got, it has gorillas and all this kind of stuff. And that's pretty cool restaurant atmosphere, would you say? Yeah. And when we went there, people were talking about it. We went in there, we took pictures, said, this is cool. And then we had the food, and the food was meh. It was all right. It was expensive, and it was just not that great. And we were kind of like, okay, well, you know what? It was a cool atmosphere, but the food wasn't the greatest. But then have you ever been the opposite, where you go someplace, and maybe it's that little hole in the wall off the beaten path? I remember I went to this little, in Mississauga, this little Chinese dim sum place. And the servers, I don't know if you've ever been to a dim sum, but they walk around with carts and they'll open it up and show you what's in there. But they don't speak English. And they just speak to you about what that is, but you have no idea what it is. And if you're like, it looks good, yeah. And they just push these carts around and they give you these little steam buckets of food and they just kind of keep going around and around. But the atmosphere was just really tile floor, carts walking around, nothing really special, but the food, out of this world. Fantastic. So the atmosphere wasn't great, but yet the food was delicious. A great dining experience really comes down to two things, doesn't it? Food and atmosphere. It's all about what you see and then what you taste. For those math people in the room, I guess the equation would be food plus atmosphere equals experience. You know, if you hear about a new restaurant coming to town, sometimes there's a buzz about that. Wow, what's coming over here? I don't know if any of you are on the Ask Bozeman site, but almost weekly somebody writes in that thing. Anybody here if a Chick-fil-A is coming to town? People are hungry and wanting that Chick-fil-A to come to town. There's a buzz about it, and there's not even a plan right now for that to happen that I know of. So when you get something that is like atmosphere and food, and they are succeed in both areas, you come up with an amazing dining experience. I guess it would look something like, I don't know, the Olive Garden. Where you walk in and you just think that you're being transported into Italy. When they greet you with a smile at the door and say, "Welcome, Mr. Steve, your table is ready." When they come and they bring those fresh breadsticks with the salt and the garlic just on that warm bun. Then they bring out the salads that just has manna from heaven dressing on it. You know what I mean? It's just absolutely amazing. So Jesus has given us a new life without fences. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Lives that are part of the new community that he is creating. This life in this community, in his kingdom, is life as it was meant to be. This gives us a new identity and a new set of values, ethics, to be able to live by. So we concluded our very first week in this series with the reputation of people of this new community. We need to be people of love. They'll know we are Christians by our... That's what sets us apart from the world. That is a special secret ingredient that the Lord has placed in each one of us. The power to love when it's hard to love. Sometimes it's hard to love people. Sometimes it's difficult to see through the facade that they express, to see into that true heart. And I don't know about you, but I remember when I was new into ministry and I was a broken kid. And I didn't think I would succeed. I got to the place where just like, it is so much easier being a truck driver than a pastor. But I had two guys come up to me and see something when I couldn't. They ministered to me in love. They unlocked something deep within my heart. And to this day, I'm so thankful for those two men. So I guess the question this morning that we have to consider as we wrap up this series is now, how do people hear and discover, how do they experience the kingdom of God? How do they experience what you are already experiencing? As Kim Bars put it many weeks ago, how do they experience this secret that is happening here at Bozeman Christian Center? I believe the answer is in Matthew 5:13. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up as we read from verse 13 to 16. "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled under the foot as worthless. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." God entrusts us to create kingdom experiences. You are the salt of the earth. Salt brings taste. It's a flavoring agent. It brings forth something special to something that is bland. It preserves. Someone gives you a plate of food and you taste it, and it's just kind of like, it's just missing something. The first thing we say is pass the salt. And I know there's people in this room, but before you even taste it, you say pass the salt. And you start pouring it because it's just such a habit of just that extra seasoning and flavor. So don't miss what Jesus is telling us in this metaphor. He's making it clear how necessary and important we are for the welfare of the world. Because we have experienced a transformation in our lives, and as we come towards the kingdom of heaven, now our presence is necessary as God's means of influencing the world for good. Remember I just said a few moments ago that we've been talking about a secret? As we ascend the mountain through the venue of rise, it is not for us to sit back and say, wow, I have learned so much. What a great program. It's got nothing to do with being a program. Rise is not for us to just to sit back and say, that was cool. What a good experience. But really, it's for our life as we grow ever so close to the Lord on our journey up the summit. You know, I love the story in the Old Testament of Enoch. You remember that story? Enoch, as he walked with the Lord, didn't pass away, but went to be with the Lord. I remember one day hearing a message, and this little girl shared a story, and her Sunday school teacher did a little interview with her or something like that, and she says, can you explain what happened to Enoch? And you know how this little kid put it? She says, well, Enoch and Jesus were good friends, and they would go for walks often. And one day, they went for a walk, and Jesus' house was closer than Enoch's, so he went over to Jesus' house. Right? What a cool explanation. I just love it. You are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. Now, in Jesus' time, they had small wicker oil lamps, which gave out light in the average home that had few windows. They were most effective, these little oil lamps, when they were placed up on a lampstand. Even the smallest of light lifted up could chase away the darkness. Light removes darkness. In the same way that Jesus brought life and message of salvation to us through the light, he's the light of the world. We not only now carry the light of the gospel, the kingdom, but we are the light. Because of the work of the Spirit in our lives, our transformation has produced kingdom light in us. I remember one year going to a stadium for a youth event. And the speaker says, okay, everybody, I want you, the lights were out. He goes, I want everyone to pull out their cell phones. Now, this was before flashlights. So everyone pulled out their cell phone, opened up their flip phones, and the screens lit up the place. And as they did that, he says, now, everybody, on the count of three, I want you to take a picture. So he says, one, two, three. And the whole 17,000 people. It was the coolest experience ever. This dark stadium lit up with these lights all over the place. It's like, wow, this is so cool. We become people who live empowered lives. This morning, as Pastor David, I came in really early, and Pastor David and I started chatting. He was telling me all about camp. And he said something like, David, I got to write this in my sermon. This is so good. He was talking about, he said this. He goes, you know, Lance, what I love about our church is as people are becoming empowered with the Spirit, the Lord is enabling them to step out in a boldness, a Holy Ghost boldness. And as he said that, I'm like, wow, Lord, your word says that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but that of love, of power, and sound mind. If I went through and interviewed everyone in this room and I said, what is the hardest thing about you about being a Christian? There may be some who's like, well, I don't like sharing my faith. I'm afraid. But as we step into the power of the Holy Spirit, we realize that God hasn't given us that spirit of fear. So we can step out empowered under the power of the Holy Spirit. And man, there's no limit. As salt and life, we bring taste and atmosphere of Jesus' kingdom to our world. So then I guess if food plus atmosphere equals experience, then the experience of the kingdom comes from his followers. It amazes me when we think of what God entrusts his church with. The Father the Father of creation trusted people to curate his creation, to manage it, to take care of it. How do I know that? Genesis 1:26 says, let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And now when he establishes his kingdom, Jesus entrusts us to curate his culture. We are to bring taste. We are to bring light. We are to bring Jesus' community kingdom experience to our city so that God becomes transformed and people too can experience what we experience, an empowered lifestyle. Think about it like this. You don't like what is happening in our city? Maybe we got to start asking ourselves some tough questions. Am I salting it? Are we discouraged about the darkness of our culture? Why don't we ask ourselves, Lord, am I lighting it up? For if the culture of Bozeman is bland and dark, then we need to get to salting and lighting. When we intentionally love one another, when we intentionally use our giftings and live out the love of God towards one another and to the world outside of these walls, we are salting the bland and bringing light into the darkness. Saying I love my church isn't just about us wearing t-shirts. It isn't just about us. It doesn't just impact us. It's about everyone outside of these walls. How do we bring the I love my church experience to this culture? I believe there's three ways we can do that. Number one is people will experience Jesus' community when we live out its values. We can't separate Matthew 5:2-12 from Matthew 5:13-16. The Beatitudes are not just an intro and then the salt and the light part begins. They're the same part of the same thought. Matthew 5:2-10 talks about the Beatitudes, the value of the kingdom. Verse 11 and 12 talks about the promise of persecution, the promise of reward. And then verse 13 and 16 is the charge. It's the call. So the salt and the light metaphors, really, they come out of the Beatitudes. Jesus has brought the kingdom of God through regeneration and renewal by his Spirit. He transforms us. The Spirit produces in us meekness, righteousness, mercy, purity, peace. Those are the characters of Jesus. That is what we're trying to look like more and more every single day. This is the life God puts in us, and that we then demonstrate that to the world. The Beatitudes are a character profile of the person who says, I love my church. So seasoning and shining isn't only part of the message we declare with our lips, but it's about how we walk out our lives. What difference are we making? The emphasis really is lifestyle. Number two is we live the values of Jesus. There was a young man a few years ago who drank a quart of soy sauce. And actually, it's Canadian, it's soya sauce. But here it's soy sauce. So he drank a quart of soy sauce. He went into a coma and nearly died from excessive salt in his body. This is according to Fox News. This is a direct quote. The 19-year-old who drank the soy sauce after being dared by his friends is the first person to knowingly have deliberately overdosed on such a high amount of salt and survived with no lasting neurological problems. Now, why do I share this story? I share this story because it applies directly to how we live. We are called to bring salt and light to our world so that others can experience the kingdom, not so they can be blinded by the sun or overdose on sodium. So the question is here, we have to answer, are we seasoning and shining or are we blinding and gagging? Let me give you an example of this. Now, this is one of those real difficult subjects. And when we poll many people in this room, there's going to be many different opinions and experiences. This is my experience. I remember one day coming home from church in Canada, and right on the main corner of the intersection was a bunch of protesters. And they were standing behind graves, holding up signs that say abortion kills. And they're wearing aprons with blood all over it. And they're holding up these signs. When I saw this, I remember saying to Cindy, this is grieving my spirit so much. Now, these are people who love the Lord, and they're believing that, hey, listen, abortion is wrong. And I would agree with that message. But I think the way that they're delivering it was completely wrong. And what happens is you ask yourself, if a lady who maybe she was, man, we've been able to minister to so many people in our lives. And I remember one person in Calgary came up to us at the altar one day, and this threw me on my head. She said, when I was 16 years old, I had an abortion. And now today, I don't know if God's forgiven me, and I have a hard time forgiving myself. Cindy and I prayed for this girl, and she went home. And I turned to Cindy. I said, Cindy, are we making a difference at all? It was a great prayer time, and I know the Lord touches people at the altar. But how can we really, really love her? How can we really follow up with that? And that is where the Lord really sent us on a journey of learning how to minister to people through love. So there's signs that they were holding up. Are they true? Absolutely. But I would argue that this is pouring a gallon of soy sauce down someone's throat. I don't believe anyone walked away from those signs thinking, wow, you know what? I need Jesus. And I'd be willing to put money on it that no one walking away said, I need Christ in my life. So let me give you an example of seasoning and shining. Go ahead and roll that video.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it. No, he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet, oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. How is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked, and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ. And of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met and never will.
Isn't that powerful? See, it's the everyday, trivial, day-to-day stuff. What happens at the office? What happens at your school? What happens at the gym, on the job? The people need to experience Jesus when they experience you. The last part is those who have truly experienced Jesus will help others experience Jesus. Remember Matthew 14 to 16? A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But they place it on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That secret that we've been talking about, it can no longer remain a secret. You know, we're getting ready for Back to Church Sunday, which will take place in September. And it's amazing, as I was looking through the material, how they show you, and I believe it was 82% of people who you ask to come to church will say yes. That's amazing to me, that stat. But you know what? I believe it's more than just asking people to church. Relationship is everything. It's not just, hey, will you come to church with me? And then, okay, we're done. Have a good life. But it's just walking with people, loving on people, standing with people, praying with people, helping people, giving our time, giving our energies, giving our worship to the Lord in sharing the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. It's living an empowered life. It's looking for Holy Spirit opportunities and modeling real love. See, I hope that if we've learned anything over these last few weeks, we've learned that loving the church isn't about loving the building. It's not about loving the programs. It's about loving one another. Primarily our relationship with God and also our relationship with one another. But it doesn't stop there. We also have to love those outside of these walls. The very first week we read John 13:35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Here's the thing. How can people observe us having a reputation of love if we're never around people? You know, it's amazing how with modern technology we've lost something. My daughter, she got a phone a couple days ago. It was her birthday, and she got a phone. And I sat down with her, and I said, Mackenzie, here's my concern. You've seen it. I've been guilty of it. But so many times we get together with people, and I remember seeing a little quote on Facebook that one time says, I'm having a bunch of people over so we can sit around and play on our phones. But isn't that becoming the culture that we're in? We're so engaged in this. We have remote car starters and we have garages with you push a button and it opens. So there's not even parking the car on the road and going and seeing your neighbor. We just drive right into the house now. It is so easy to isolate ourselves, but that's not our calling. Our calling is to interact. Our calling is to love people. Our calling is to pour out what the Lord has put in. You can't season and shine what your when your ordinary is separate from the bland darkness. Church small groups and the rest of our programs assist us to grow and become strong in our faith. We are strengthening our saltiness and brightness, if you will. But if we never are interacting with people outside the church, then we've taken the ball to the goal line And we said, that's close enough, and walked away. We are live Jesus values while connecting with our world. What are ways that we can begin making connections in the neighborhood? We asked that question in our last prayer summit. If you missed out prayer summit, it was so good. We sat down together and journaled and said, Lord, what plans do you have for us as a church for this community? And then we put it out on big sticky notes and wrote it down, looking for the commonality that the Lord was showing people in their journals. We're like, okay, God, these are some great, great ideas. Now, Lord, would you help us to launch that? Would you help us to walk in that? Again, this church is not about this building. It's about the body. So that means that it's not just a Sunday-only church. It's an everyday church, because the body disperses and goes to Belgrade and goes to Bozeman and goes to the Gallatin Valley, goes to Livingston. That's influence. That's impact. My friends, put that lamp up on a hill. Let it be seen. Let it shine, because it's every one of our responsibility to walk in what the Lord has deposited in each one of us, empowered with the Holy Spirit. We launched our very first Empower retreat 2 weekends ago. It was just a really short, small, closed seminar, because it's just such a heavily intensive volunteer basis that we need a whole bunch of people to be able, when we launch it corporately. And man, I'm so excited about what God is going to do and what God is doing. We're a Pentecostal church. We believe in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We've been praying on our back wall, believing for an increase of signs and wonders. That does not happen, and it won't happen by taking the safe way. It happens by taking that leap of faith and saying, God, I desire to live and walk an empowered life. And God, would you spark something deep within me? Amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Let's stand to our feet as Patrick and the team close the service and lead us in a song.